Be interesting for me to do a survey if you remember a typical Thanksgiving Day prayer at your house growing up, or if you have one right now. I remember my father's, which was, "Our Father, we thank thee for all the good things of life." And then there followed a list of all of the good things that came to his mind, but that's simply the way that Dad prayed. A typical list, a Thanksgiving list, might include things like family or friends, church, health, shelter, and so on. This morning, what I'd like to do is to imagine these things for which we are thankful, to imagine those things as thanks, thanks that we can take in a basket. We can write them down and put them in a basket. So there's family, friends, health, and so forth. And we put them in a basket. Maybe it helps to think of those as blessings. So you have this basket of blessings, or this basket of thanks. Then imagine taking out and giving those to others. Thus, thanksgiving. Not only receiving those things, but then taking that and giving them out. I am blessed. I pass on the blessings. Those are the kinds of thanksgivings that we will consider this morning. Shall we pray? Lord God, help us to live. Not just exist, but to live dynamically, to live on this journey, and to live life as you would have us live. And might we manage our thanksgiving in a life and a way that is pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's certainly tension in the two texts. Contrast, drama, if you will. I chose them for this reason. They aren't linked in the Bible, but they certainly are linked in the way that we lead our lives sometimes. You've probably heard me say before that I am always surprised the extent to which within one person, me and almost every person, can live a saint and a sinner. So that one thinks of this person, oh, what a sinner. However, at times, what a saint. Or a person that is such a saintly person, however, at times, what a disappointment and not so saintly at all. And I think in these two morning texts we have that contrast, because one is an illustration of how to give thanks selfishly. How to give thanks selfishly. And the other text is how to give thanks generously. There's this and this. However, at times, and they go back and forth. Let's take first the Pharisee in Luke. My words, of course, this isn't exactly what the text said, but the Pharisee in Luke, "Lord, I thank you for the big gap between me and this miserable sinner who is also praying. I am so grateful, Lord, to be one of the good guys. Thank you, God, that you made me good. And not like that. It's wonderful to stand by myself, close to you, and at a distance from him. Life is good. May it always be so." Selfish thanksgiving. It's so good to be me and not them. The contrast is a text where Paul is writing to a local congregation in Corinth, and this one has a much more of a dynamic aspect. You see things that are flowing along, the receiving and the giving. So Paul writes, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge your harvest of righteousness, which is right living. You will receive, that will enlarge your store of relating to others in the world in a right way." You will be enlarged so that you may enlarge others. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And so there's a kind of thank God, a thanksgiving at the different junctions. You have received, thank God. You have given from what you received. Now others are saying, thank God. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God, and God is thankful for this. Well, the question I have for us this morning, you'll have to provide your own answers, I'll prime the pump, is in what way do these texts of selfish giving, selfishness personified, and expansive giving, generous giving, how does that match with our own lives? How do these texts shine light into the reality of our hearts? I want to look at how this can play out by looking in the basket, our collection of thanks, different categories of thanks, and then in each category, think about how it can be scattered for increase. But those very things that we were so thankful for, how they can be hoarded, and how they can lead to selfishness. So one category is health and aptitude, skills. We might call this just how I am. I'm thankful I can stand up here and speak before you this morning. Perhaps in your Thanksgiving Day prayer, you offered gratefulness for health and skills and ability. And so a thanksgiving prayer would be a prompt to notice that blessing and to wonder, how might that blessing, that thanks, be given to others? Here I am, just as I am. How do I scatter that reality? So one can take physical capacity, health, abilities, and share that on a Mennonite disaster service trip. You take that, which is a blessing, and you use that, which not everyone has, to be a blessing to others. You take that, and you go and you volunteer at a food pantry or at the Midwest Food Bank. When that happens, what happens? Then someone else has received a blessing. Someone else has received a thanks in their basket. My blessing becomes a blessing, and what increases on this earth is righteousness. There is thanks receiving and thanks giving, and the harvest of righteousness is enlarged. For me, it is a source of great joy to notice how often I see exactly that kind of process visible here among members of this congregation. A spirit of wanting to bless others even as we have been blessed. However, at times, good health allows one to just engage in endless self-centered entertainment and leisure and self-indulgence. As long as I can, I'm going to play without ceasing. My blessing will be to the benefit of me, and the thanksgiving harvest of righteousness decreases if I just turn inward. It's all about me. Because I can, I will pleasure myself. I guess it becomes a question, for what is my body? For what purpose, to what purposes do I put my body? To that which I enjoy for myself, or that which will bless others? So when I pray, thank you, God, for health, I think a good follow-up is, thank you, God, for health so that a harvest of righteousness can result. Here's a second category, which is a natural one for the season we're in, fall entering into winter. Thankfulness for shelter. Gratefulness for warm shelter. Thankfulness that we have houses to live in. That's definitely in the thanks basket, the blessings of safe shelter. Can you think how you've seen the harvest of righteousness enlarged by the blessings that have come our way? How does one give that thanks to a cause beyond oneself? How can one's house be used in a way that would cause thanks to be given by others? Well, now this one isn't the call for everyone, but it's one of the most obvious. It's called foster care. And we do live in a world in which safe shelter does not exist for all. I have safe shelter, I take it out, that thanks, and I give it so that others might be blessed. Or a house that has the space in it, we've heard stories of this, can be used to have sewing days for refugee projects so that others might have warmth and might have shelter. Or the beautiful way that so many people find to use their houses as a tool for extending hospitality in a world which is literally cold, but more importantly, perhaps, is figuratively cold. Am I loved? Does anyone care about me? Is there anyone who wants me? How do I find the human contact that my heart hungers for? And the house itself becomes a tool for extending hospitality. It might be less direct. Perhaps when I pray with thankfulness for warm shelter, this might move me to move in my head to questions of community housing and action in that direction. But again, we return to the text. This house is a gift. And the text in Corinthians said, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, to those who don't have. How does one scatter warm shelter beyond oneself? And again, I find great joy in noting the instances where that happens. However, at times, houses are an interesting symbol, or window, I guess I should say, into the hearts in this nation in which we live. We can stand there like the Pharisee who was proud of himself and what he has, and some houses are only monuments to prideful, wasteful display, shrines to self-indulgence. Look at me. Look at how well I'm doing. This is all mine. And some houses, in fact, are literally more like fortresses. They are wired to keep others out and to allow me and mine to say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not one of the riffraff, the have-nots. I thank you, Lord, that I am here with all that I have, and they are there. Freely scattering gifts to the poor. Another category for which I am thankful, I think most of us are thankful, all of us that are here should be thankful, is that of community. It is not good for us to be alone. What a blessing to be with others in community and to spread it about expansively and generously and to give community to others. 2 days ago, there was a wonderful example. I'll mention somebody by name. I think this was Marge Nestor's idea to start with. Not to just have Thanksgiving Day meal for my family, but to notice that there's other people that might not have family as close by. It's not possible to do that. And so rather than eating a lonely meal, say, why don't you all come in? Let's do Thanksgiving together. Let's be a family together. It can be both, and we can be both family and we can include other families. I think of community, which is extended when I've seen our youth invite friends not only to youth group but to service projects. I think of how community thanksgiving, the gift of community, is extended by those of you that live in the Mennonite residential community. When you made the decision, when you were going to do your little field trips, which are such a wonderful way to see stuff, eat together, be together, you said, this isn't going to be restricted just to Mennonite Church of Normal people, nor is it going to be restricted to just the people that live in the MRC. Instead, what was attached to those invitations were the magic words. Everyone is welcome. In a powerfully divided world with loneliness and hostility, everyone is welcome. Surely those words come from God. For God so loved the world that whosoever, everyone is welcome. However, at times, and we must be honest about this, at our worst we can see others as a threat to the community that we have, and so our community, our togetherness, becomes something to defend. And I think it would be a mistake to simply project this out onto what is happening on our borders. Certainly that's an example of something which is us, I believe, nationally at our worst. The sad reality is that we can look closer to home. There are often echoes that appear as we want to guard community and not share it. This feeling that, you know, if we let others in, that would degrade what we have. And sometimes toward that end, we use words that sound so good, like doctrine or denomination or Anabaptist. And those, in fact, are the descriptors of walls that are intended more to keep people out, because what we have might be affected, and we don't want that. And so others are seen not as neighbors, but as threat. You see this in play when the question is asked almost as a default in churches: will other people fit? As if the slots are preset and they are rigid. Or is the motto of a community, a church community in particular, we'll adjust so that you can fit in? I said the magic words can be everyone is welcome. Another magical word is, especially when the recipient of this blessing, there's always room for one more. God has gifted us to be included. We'll find out how to include all into this place where God's love has been made known and real to us. And so, however, at times cuts both ways. It can be that it characterizes a church as a great place of community, however at times it goes this way, but sometimes it seems like a group is so closed, however at times there's a breakthrough and it goes in the direction of the saintly. And finally, and these are just categories, you can take whatever your blessings are. I think you can play around with this list with anything that you have. But I would cite the category of faith. Almost without exception, this I see from my vantage point as a pastor, at the times which surround funerals, I will hear at least one person say, I don't know what I would do without my faith. Basically saying, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for faith. I'm thankful for hope. I'm thankful for salvation. At this hard time in my life, it's a gift, and it sustains me. That thanks, thinking of it again as being in a basket, thinking of it as a blessing, has in fact generated very important ways that we can bring to mind that we give that thanks so that others might also know of Jesus and be thankful. I am blessed and I want to bless others, and so we commit ourselves. We've done it several times recently in the months when we have done child dedications, child blessings. We commit ourselves to give to our children the knowledge of Jesus which was given to us. Our parents took it out of that basket, that which they knew, and they handed it to us, and we continue to scatter seeds of righteousness. We promise to share our faith in word and deed, and in fact, we do that. Beyond ourselves, our valuing of the gift of Jesus can be seen in the way we support a variety of mission enterprises so that others might have what we have. I dare say that a number of you take out of the basket of material blessings and you take out of that and you give so that others might know Jesus. However, at times, when it comes to local efforts with neighbors and co-workers and those we rub shoulders with, we can be so stingy with this treasure of Jesus. And we invent so many reasons, supposedly grounded in sensitivity and not wanting to offend, that functionally our actions are as if we hoard Jesus and our faith as if it were a secret to be doled out only in small measures. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy of knowing you, for the joy of salvation. However what? However what? Why wouldn't we share that? It is appropriate that Thanksgiving, thought of in this way, falls right before Advent, because really it is about Jesus and the way of Jesus which is coming into the world, asking us to provide shelter, asking us to provide community, asking us to provide faith, to receive all of these blessings and to scatter them as seeds of righteousness. Thanks-giving. Giving out our thanks so that there may be even more thanksgiving. Charles Stanley summed it up this way: God loved us so that we might love others. He blesses us so that we might bless others. That is what the Christian life is all about. Might we all have a blessed life of thanksgiving. Amen.